You're listening to the I Spy podcast. I invite you to join me as I take a peek into the lives of others to learn a little more about the world. And maybe we can learn a bit about ourselves along the way. I'm your host, Violet Miles. On this episode, I'll be exploring cheating and infidelity.
Hello, my name is Ethan, and I have been cheated on. This relationship had been on and off throughout high school. We were both in theater together, and she would play the leads in the shows, and then I would take, like, the love interest role in these shows.
Really?
So we were like the Hollywood couple, you know?
No, that's romantic.
Not at all. But it was kind of fun to be like, I don't know, like our relationships kind of centered around the theater.
How old were you?
It started when I was 10th grade.
Okay.
Yeah, it was 9th or 10th grade, and then it continued all the way till grade 12.
Okay.
Just
so
on and
how many years is that?
I'm going to say like 3 years.
Okay.
A solid 3 years.
Okay, that's pretty long. Like, I know it's on and off, but it's a pretty long relationship.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, this podcast is about cheating. So, how did you find out that she cheated on you?
So, this was when we had decided that we were going to be together, and I went to Vancouver Island for like a weekend. She went to some party, and then I get a text from my friend saying, "Hey, I don't know if this is my place to tell you, but I saw your girlfriend, and she was really up against this dude, and I knew both of the people, and I just wanted to let you know that I think she was cheating, like she was making out with this dude, and you should know. Mm-hmm. Sorry if this is bad news. I don't want this to hurt."
Whoa.
Yeah.
How'd you feel getting that text?
Honestly, I felt bummed. I don't even know if I felt surprised. I don't see her as a cheater. I didn't think that she would be unfaithful, but just something about that wasn't shocking to me.
Really?
I don't know.
Was it because of the nature of your on and off relationship? Maybe?
I think so. And I don't, and this is something similar had sort of happened before where her and I were in this middle of this on and off, and then it kind of ended because I think she was interested in another guy and she was hanging out with some other guy. And then when she was like, "I don't think we should see each other," and I was like, "Okay, that's fine. I respect your feelings," but I never really knew why. And then there were rumors that it was because there was another guy. So for me, I was like, "Okay, I think this makes sense."
Mm-hmm. Was it the same guy?
It's a different guy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what did you do once you found out that had taken place?
I texted my girlfriend. I was still on the island. I said, "Hey, can we talk on Monday?" And I get back. And then we did after school outside of the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the conversation. And I said, "We've been doing this on and off for so many times. Is there a point where we're just going to stop doing this? Because I don't think either one of us seem to be fully into this." And then I sort of brought up, like, "Hey, I heard that something happened this weekend." And it sort of made me realize that maybe this isn't working. But I didn't really break up with her because of the cheating. It was just like, okay, this just makes sense. This is just the icing on top of the cake. I was like, this is just not, this. We aren't good together.
Yeah. And how did she take it?
She denied the cheating.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "I didn't do it." I believed her. But at the same time, somebody telling me that she cheated made me realize if I didn't care as much as I should, I was like, this is like,
it's a sign.
This is a sign.
Yeah.
So that made me wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I still kind of think that something happened.
Yeah.
Because there were multiple people who saw something going on.
So did multiple people say something to you, or you were just kind of like...
I asked around.
Okay.
I asked around after because I wasn't sure how to feel. I didn't know if I felt like the bad guy.
And did you ever confront the guy that was involved?
I didn't because he wasn't the one in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I personally believe that the mistresses or the misters in relationships aren't necessarily at fault. I think that there's a boundary where you could maybe not be a good person, be willingly pursuing a taken person, but at the end of the day, somebody said they would stay loyal and the other person
exactly.
didn't.
Yeah, exactly. I feel the same way. Like, you haven't made any kind of promises or commitments to this relationship.
No.
Yeah, so I agree, but I know a lot of people do not feel that way.
No, yeah.
But did it ever cross your mind to confront him just to see, since one person was denying it, but you were hearing something else?
No.
No.
Not even once.
And I guess it didn't matter to you that much at that point.
At that point, I had realized after I heard it, the fact that I didn't have this, like, deep body, like, oh my gosh,
mm-hmm.
I was like, well, that I need to read my own signs right now and understand that maybe I'm not into her as much as I thought I was.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. What made you inclined to believe her when she said that she hadn't?
Because I trust her.
Okay.
And that's just it. And I think that her version of cheating maybe was different than the person who was onlooking, like dancing up against another person. Maybe they thought there was something going on or going to a bedroom. But mm-hmm. I trusted her. And to this day, she will still say that she didn't cheat. And we have a very honest and good relationship.
Yeah, I was going to ask what your relationship's like now. Do you talk?
So we used to run a school meme account together.
Nice.
And in that meme account, it became a group chat with our sister high school's meme account owner. And in this group chat, we spoke more candidly and honestly about our lives than anyone else. Mm. Like, I was the first person I came out to was the girl who ran the other meme account.
Wow.
Which was so random. But it was like these internet friends. And so, yeah, it just feels out of character for her to be so honest about, like, every part of her life mm-hmm. and lie about something as stupid as kissing a guy at a party.
Yeah, but I think shame can make you do a lot of silly things. Also, especially if she did respect you a lot and care for you a lot and think that that information might hurt you. Like, I don't know the situation. Mm-hmm. I'm not making any assumptions.
No, but now I'm, like, thinking about it. I hadn't thought about this in a long time.
Yeah, like, I could definitely see from her perspective not wanting to disappoint you or hurt you. So just, like, hiding it for that reason.
That's really true. Yeah, I can see that, actually. Do you want to share some of your experiences?
Yeah.
Can you share with me?
Sure. So I was in a relationship last year. Mm-hmm. Started in the summer, and it was about a year or so. And he ended things with me in April. And it was kind of out of the blue. It was long distance. And he was saying that, like, his mental health was really bad and that, like, the long distance wasn't helping him and he needed to kind of, like, figure things out by himself. And, like, I was pretty torn up about it and also really confused because I feel like it was just like this really intense relationship and we made all these plans and promises. I was like making planning to make really big decisions to keep that relationship going and like definitely saw a future with this person and then kind of like cut off contact, but we kind of still spoke to each other and we were kind of like, oh, well, like if we were in like the right place at the right time, like maybe we could do this again and like try this again. And then in May, then this girl from his school messaged me on Instagram and was like, hey, I just think that you deserve to know that like your boyfriend cheated on you with me. And I was like, oh, no, like you have it all wrong. Like we're not together anymore. And she was like, no, like this was in February. So it was like months and months before the relationship ended. And I was just like, what? Like, I was just so shocked because I think that we had a lot of, like, trust issues in our relationship being long distance. Mm-hmm. And I think he took a lot of that out on me. And, like, looking back on it was probably, like, a lot of projection and, like, his own, like, guilt and, like, shame and stuff, which was not good because it was, like, super, like, gaslighting to be mm-hmm. like, what are you doing? Like, who are you with? All of this stuff.
He would say that to you.
Yeah. And so, like, I confronted him about it and he denied it for a while and then, like, spoke to the girl and, like, was kind of like, okay, I guess that happened. But, like, I think it was a situation where, like, he was so drunk that he didn't remember, or at least, like, that's the story that he tells me. Mm-hmm. And he does, like, have a drinking problem. Like, so I was like, okay, well, I don't even know what to do with this now. And, like, even if you are so drunk that you don't remember, it still happened and it still hurts me. And, like, you have, like, a responsibility to me as, like, someone that you're dating. So he apologized, but, like, I kind of had to, like, extract it from him.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And so, like, now it's been, like, 7 months since we broke up and I'm still, like, just, like, sad about it. Because, like, I do think part of me is still, like, very in love with him and like feels very betrayed.
Yeah. Come here.
I expect you to cry. Hi. I expect to cry.
Hi.
But
are you wrestling with giving him the forgiveness? Are you able to give it to him?
I don't think I can honestly say that I forgive him right now. I think it's one of those things where it's like, who are you really hurting by not giving this forgiveness? But I have to work towards that, and I think I need more time. And it feels frustrating because it's been 7 months. That's more than half of our relationship. Like, shouldn't I be over it by now? I still feel like so stuck. And like, we both like talked about it so seriously, so it just feels like, fuck, I don't know, I'm so emotional. But like, how can you like leave me so stuck and you can just like move on? I don't know, it sucks. I still have a lot that I need to like work through, but like, that's why I wanted to do this, because once I started talking about it, it's like everybody had an experience or something, like on varying degrees, and I felt like it would help me like work through it.
When you think of the girl who DM'd you and let you know, are you thankful that she told you?
Yeah.
Had she not told you, would it have made it easier or harder in the relationship for it to be over?
I think it would. I don't know, it would be different, because I think so much of me would have still been like, I'm still going to end up with this person, like, some way, somehow, like, this is my person, and I'm meant to, like, be with them. But it wouldn't, it would have been a lie. Like, I, you know, I just wouldn't know something. But that something still would have existed.
How has this podcast helped you work through? How is it helping you? Is it?
I don't know yet. Maybe by the end of it, I will figure that out. I think to a certain extent, there's comfort in talking to other people who have maybe had similar experiences. I listened to this podcast when I first went through my breakup, called Breakup by This American Life. And it, like, helped me so much. If someone hears this and, like, they've just been cheated on and they hear me, like, crying into the mic, maybe that can, like, help them in the way that the podcast I listened to helped me during my breakup, of just, like, this feeling feels so personal. But, like, you have to know that, like, other people are going through it and, like, struggling with it. Thank you for being a part of it.
Thank you for being it.
Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it. Thank you for letting me cry to you.
Of course.
I did not expect to do that.
That was really, really nice.
So now you've heard my side of things, and maybe you understand why I chose this topic. I appreciated Ethan sharing his story and letting me share my own, but I knew I couldn't stop there. I knew that Ethan didn't fully understand the pain I felt when I found out I had been cheated on. And maybe it was selfish, but I wanted to talk to someone who knew my heartbreak, someone who felt like their world had been shattered too.
Hello?
Hello, Anne. This is Violet.
How are you? Hi.
I am good. How are you?
Good.
Are you in the car right now?
Yes, I am. I'm almost at the place where I'm going to go.
Okay. Yeah, that's no problem. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this interview. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Yeah, so I have Anne and Frances in the studio, mother and daughter. Thank you both so much. Are you good to just jump right into it?
Sure are.
Cool. Do you want to start off by just telling me how you first met Steve?
Sure. I was a social worker in a psychiatric facility, and he was a conservator, an attorney for a number of my clients. And we had a woman that just kept running away, and he would have to bring her back. And so the one night that he brought her back, it was very late, and we got dinner, and then we just started dating from there.
Oh, wow, it's a very eventful start to your relationship. It happens. It's a place of romance. So tell me a little bit more about, so you started dating. What was the beginning of your relationship like?
It was really fun, but very fast. Shortly after we met, my apartment was going up for sale, and I needed a place to live, and there was an opportunity for a very large job down where he lived. So very quickly, I decided, well, I'll move down to Fairfield, and if I get the job, that will be great. Well, within a couple months, I got the job, and he said, well, I have a house. You can come live there. And so it went very quickly from dating to moving in with each other. And I said, well, if it doesn't work out, then I can always move, mm-hmm. and it will help me get me started with a job.
Right. Do you remember how long into the relationship that was?
Probably about 6 months, maybe.
Okay. Do you remember what age you were at the time?
I was 32.
Okay. And then what happened once you guys moved in together?
Well, it was a little bit of a rocky start. He mm-hmm. was a little bit, he had been living alone for so long, so it was very difficult for him to get used to somebody coming into the house.
Okay.
And so it was a little bit of a rocky start. I had planned on moving out, and he said, no, I think you should stay. We can work this out. And before I knew it, he was asking me to marry him.
Wow. Do you remember what was going on exactly when you were thinking of moving out?
It was really about me not thinking he was ready for a relationship, and he hadn't had any really long-term relationships before that, and I think his friends would tell me he just got scared,
mm-hmm.
and they kept telling him he was nuts, and he shouldn't let me go, and he told me that, and we agreed to just kind of work things out and get back to having fun with each other. And and there were a lot of things that we had in common. We both mm-hmm. loved to cook. We both loved to be at the beach. There were a number of things, and it got a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't move out.
Okay. And then he asked you to marry him, and you said yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you obviously did, and you had three beautiful children, Frances being one of them. And so how far into the relationship was it that he cheated on you, to your knowledge?
I think it was probably, we were probably married for about 14 years.
Wow.
And I remember the day that he told me that a client of his, who we both knew, was getting a divorce, and I suddenly got an awful feeling.
Mm.
I literally went and I got sick to my stomach. Mm. I couldn't figure out why. I thought that was a really weird reaction.
Mm-hmm.
From there, it was just something that I had in my gut.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't something I knew for a fact. It was just a feeling.
Yeah, I think our intuition is often very, very accurate. So
yeah.
How did you find out that it was actually confirmed that he was seeing someone else?
Well, there were a number of different signs that I didn't pay attention to.
Mm.
One was there were several people that said to me, made different comments. I met somebody and a friend of his, and the gentleman said, oh, I thought the other blonde was his wife. And then somebody from his church said to me one time, oh, it's nice that you allow your husband to bring his mistress to church. And then he was talking about her a lot, and she worked in the school that the kids went to, and he was talking about her a lot, and I said, I know you guys are friends, but I would like you to not see her. I said, it's really having a real impact. It may be just me,
but it's really difficult for me. And he said, no, I'm not going to stop my friendship with her.
Okay.
And then it was confirmed when he sent me a text instead of her. Her name is the same as mine.
Wow. And do you remember what the text said?
Yep. Can't wait to see you tomorrow, and we'll be together soon.
Was there any point where you thought that you didn't know if the text was a mistake, that you thought it might be for you, or was there no doubt in your mind?
There was no doubt in my mind because it was 1:30 in the morning, and I was upstairs, and he was downstairs. So, but by that time, we had already been to couples counseling, and the therapist confronted him on it, and he walked out. And so I continued with therapy for a couple years, and then made the decision I had to go because things were really not good.
Yeah.
And so it was never a real admittance until that all happened.
Right. You definitely found out very indirectly.
Yeah.
What went through your mind when you got that text? Walk me through that a little bit.
Well, I had mixed emotions because part of it was the validation of knowing something that I knew for 3 years plus, 4 years even, was finally validated. He often used to say, I was crazy. You know that song by Sam Smith, I think it is? You're not the only one?
Yeah.
And there's a line in that when I finally realized what was going on and that song came out, it was like, you think I'm not the only, you call me crazy because you think I'm not the only one. You're not the only one that you call baby, you know? Mm. And that's so true.
Mm-hmm.
It's that validation. And it's not so much that I knew that the relationship was rocky, and that was part of, you know, feeling really bad about it. The other part was the lying. And even when you're confronted and pleading and begging and saying, just tell me, that was the hardest part.
Yeah.
And him putting that on me when he knew all along that I was right.
Right.
So.
Yeah. How did you end up confronting him?
Very angrily. I brought the phone downstairs, showed him the text, said, I know this is it for me. And he said, oh, you know, we've been having some problems. I turned to her. And Francis, I think you'll remember this. I went downstairs and opened up his computer and found emails for years.
Wow.
And said, all right, I emailed her back because she was just sent an email, is everything okay? And I emailed back, this is Ann, no, it's not okay. And I knew her.
Yeah.
And said, I just found out about you guys, and Steve and I are done.
Mm-hmm.
So
she knew you too, and she knew that he was married and, you know, had a family.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, we had a lot of contact.
Mm-hmm.
In town.
Francis, do you remember I don't know, how old were you? Do you know?
The specific incident that she was talking about, I was probably, like, 9. I was in 4th grade.
Okay.
Because I remember her coming upstairs. She had, like, just woken me up for school, and she had her phone, and I just remember her, like, screaming and throwing that. But I didn't have any context to that. I didn't really know what that was about or connected to anything.
Yeah. Did you have a conversation with your kids, and what did that look like, Anne?
I never told my kids about the affair. I made the decision and had been already kind of looking for an apartment before it was all confirmed. And we made the decision when he found out that I knew, he said, you know, I'm sorry, let's work this out. But it had been so many years of dishonesty that I couldn't continue. So I told him that I was going to leave, and I had a place to live mm-hmm. for me and the kids. And the we sat the kids down together.
Mm-hmm. And so, obviously, Frances, you know now. Mm-hmm. So when did that happen? What do you remember being told?
Initially, when they got divorced, I don't exactly remember what they told us. I do remember them sitting us down and me just kind of knowing and, like, assuming that was what was coming. And I think we basically just had a conversation about, like, how it would be different in my mom's new house and custody, maybe. But how I found out about the affair was later on in high school. And that was just my dad started dating that woman again, and that was through just overhearing his conversations with her. And so I kind of just pieced it together and then asked my mom about it. And then she told me a bit more directly.
Mm-hmm. And once Frances confronted you and you decided to just be honest about it, you felt like she was old enough.
Yeah, and we were in a restaurant, actually, and I think, Frances, if you remember, I just started to cry.
Yeah.
And I felt I did not want the kids to think badly about their dad, and I was willing to take any kind of blame for the relationship, but she clearly knew. And I don't lie to my kids. I might not tell them everything, but I didn't. When she asked me straight out, I felt that was the only thing that I could have done. That was the right thing to do.
Right. How might things have been different if he had come forward and told you about this himself?
Oh, very different. I was very committed to working on the relationship, although we had our problems. I used to say to my friends that were like, how are you putting up with him, you know? I'd say, I married him. I have 3 great kids. I'm not going to do that to my kids. I think that if he had come forward and been honest and he was willing to take responsibility for his part of it and work with me on it, I think that we may have not been the best couple in the world, but we would have remained married and could have worked it out.
Yeah.
But he would have had to have done the work in therapy on himself.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have taken a lot of the blame that you were putting on yourself and kind of validated what was actually mm-hmm. going on. So how long ago was that now? Like, from roughly around the time that you actually found out and it was confirmed, how many years ago?
I found out for sure in 2010.
Okay.
I bought a house. I closed on a house in 2011. And then our divorce didn't go through until 2012.
Mm-hmm. So roughly 10 years, going mm-hmm. on 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like after all that time, you're over it, whatever that might mean to you?
Well, I'm not over. I think I'm over the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
When he was dating her again, the kid's grandmother died, and we ended up having to. I went to the funeral, and I ended up sitting next to her in the church. And it was a Catholic ceremony, and you know how they do the peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave her a hug and said, we're done, because we have to co-parent and be together. I actually was kind of grateful that she ended something that probably potentially could have been a very, very sad marriage
mm-hmm.
because of the type of person he is.
Mm-hmm.
And I found happiness, you know.
Yeah.
I'm a different person. I'm actually my my own self now, you know? Yeah. I was never myself with him.
Yeah. Well, that's really great that that's, like, the place that you've come to with all of this, and you deserve to feel like you've come out on the better side of things.
Mm-hmm.
I'll ask you the same question, Frances. Do you feel like you're over it?
I don't think so. I think definitely I tend to ask myself a lot, like, how he could have done that to my mom. And I find it makes it a lot harder for me to forgive little things because I just look back to a lot of the bigger, like, cruel things that he's done. And it makes it hard to get over it.
Yeah, it's completely understandable. So you are in a relationship now, Anne.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much dating you did before finding your current partner, but do you feel like it affected your relationships moving forward, having that experience with Steve?
Definitely. Not only was it was what we went through, the bad times, but also that time that I really reflected on my part and what I can do as being a better partner, that really helped. Early on in the relationship, because I knew my current partner for quite some time. We worked together and we were friends. And I was not interested in any kind of relationship at all. I thought that I was just going to be a mom and take care of my kids, and that was it. And we just connected. And early on in the relationship, he'll tell you, there was one time he did something. Steve, when he started dating or having the affair, something's changed. Like, he would refuse to not even hold my hand in public, and used to say no public display of affection. You always went away for our anniversary. He refused to do that, making up all sort of excuses. And a lot of neglect, a lot of really just no connection whatsoever, and which is very common. And I remember Scott one time, I came over, we had a date, and he fell asleep. Well, I was furious, and I was really ridiculous about it. He was the poor guy who was like, what the heck did I do, you know? I said, I'm leaving, and he was like, oh, my God, this woman is out of her mind. I thought I knew her. And we figured out it was my post-traumatic stress. And he also was cheated on and also went through something very similar, knowing about it for a really long time. So the two of us really had to communicate and talk about that and really show each other, not tell each other, that we could trust each other.
Yeah.
And he's better now, but it's taken several years for both of us to really, you know, not look over our shoulders. I mean, I even actually had a dream last night that he was cheating on me, and I called him this morning and said, isn't that weird, you know?
I hope it wasn't this looming interview that was causing you stress in your dreams.
No, I don't. Maybe. Who knows how that brain works?
Yeah.
So, but it's really done both positive and negative. And I think that I probably will never settle. I felt like I settled a lot in my marriage. It wasn't equal. Now, Scott and I take care of each other, and it's both a give and take. And we talk about it. Communication is huge.
Yeah, that's really warming to hear that that's the place that you're at with your current partner.
Knowing yourself and being able to really
make sure that your needs are being met in a relationship and not just settling. And it's different than compromising.
Mm-hmm.
Compromising is being kind and being listening and communicating and being able to say, you know what, this isn't a big fight for me, but if there's something really important, you have to really stand your ground. And if somebody's not willing to work with you on that, I think then you have to think about, is this something I want for a very long-term relationship?
Yeah. Right. I think that's great advice. So my last question is just a broad one. Obviously, this is a very personal, intimate topic, and I'm just curious why you agreed to actually do this interview with me.
Time has really taught me I'm getting old, and I feel like everything that I've ever gone through has been for a reason and has helped me to grow as a person. I'm much more confident than I ever have been. I was always an insecure person. And so being able to share those intimate things with somebody that's willing to hear and maybe be able to help is really important. I've been very honest with my kids since they've gotten older, and I think it really helps them to make decisions in their own relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of it. But Frances will also tell you I'm a storyteller and I talk a lot.
It's true.
Part of being a social worker. And people can't heal with secrets. Any therapy that I do with somebody, it has to be real, it has to be transparent, and it has to be honest. Because otherwise, you don't know what you're dealing with. So when you asked me to do this, I'm honored, actually, mm-hmm. because it's my story, and everybody has good and bad parts of their story.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm honored to interview you, and I think you're really, really brave for doing this, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm really glad that we got a chance to do this.
Yeah, I'm going to give Frances a big hug because she's in the studio with me, and I'd be giving you a big hug, too, if you were here.
Okay.
We
back
are giving
at you.
You a hug, hon. Oh. Love you.
Love you, too.
Okay, thank you so much, Anne. I hope
thank
you have a
you
good rest of your day.
Thank you for being there for Frances.
My pleasure.
Love you guys.
I love okay. you, Mom.
Have a
all
good
right.
rest of your day. Okay. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye. All right. Bye,
bye,
guys.
Bye. It was reassuring to hear from Anne, whose experience dwarfed my own, and yet she still seemed to come out of the other side of things full of hope and growth. I remembered a story my friend Paula V had told me about an experience she had a few years ago. I asked if she'd be willing to interview with me. I wanted to sit down with you to like get a little bit of like a different perspective on the subject, so I appreciate you chatting with me. Could we start off with you just like telling me about the relationship?
Yeah, so I was with this girl who was my best friend in high school for about 8 years. We started off in 8th grade till 2nd year university.
Wow.
And obviously, like, as you grow up, you know, you change as a person and the person you're with changes, but, like, you necessarily don't change in this at the same pace. And that leads to a lot of complications, which can lead to a lot of mistakes.
Mm-hmm. How many years was that?
8 years.
Yeah.
So it was basically, like, we were married.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't married, but it was like, very codependent.
Totally. Yeah. That's really young to start dating, especially to get in like that serious of a relationship.
Yeah, we didn't know what it was in the beginning, especially because it was like a homosexual relationship. initially we were like, we're best friends. Then we were like, we're sisters. And then we're like, no, we're in love.
Yeah, that's love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so were you long distance at one point?
Yeah, we were long distance when we went to university. So she went to San Francisco. I came to Vancouver.
Okay.
And we tried long distance. And, like, long distance usually to me is just more communication than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But it lacks intimacy sometimes because you're not living the same life. You're not next to each other, which is really important. Physical proximity is literally one of the most important things. So, yeah.
Yeah. And you started the relationship when you were in New Delhi together?
Yeah.
Okay. So, 8-year relationship, very intense, very codependent. How did it end?
So basically what happened was when things are really, really passionate, like things are really passionate when you're young, especially when it's your first love, you think they're the one, you think you're going to marry them, you think you're going to have kids with them. But what I've started to believe is if it's really, really passionate, then the highs can be really high, but the lows can be really, really low. And so we would have these like, time frames where we were like all over each other and it was like the best time of our lives, and then suddenly it got too much and then we wouldn't talk for like span like a week or 2 weeks, and in that time you start to like question the relationship and you start to like, well, from her side she would be uncommunicative for like 2 weeks in a row or 3 weeks in a row, and then you start to question if they like still love you, and you can kind of see them falling out of love and falling in love and then falling out of love, and that kind of gets to you a lot. So it ended for me because you know, there was this period where she just didn't communicate about how she was feeling. She was very withdrawn, and at that point I was like, what is this relationship? And I wasn't feeling loved. And I went for this party and I got really intoxicated, and then someone else showed me like some form of love. And then when someone shows you love and the person who's supposed to love you doesn't show you love, it's a very like intense, confusing feeling. And especially when you're intoxicated, you just want to dive into any sort of love that you're getting. And so I basically cheated.
And it was a kiss, right? More? You tell me.
A little more.
Yeah,
that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so when that happened, that's obviously like very stressful because you're already feeling pressure and disconnection like in the relationship. And then like, how do you even go about telling that person?
So first I was like, I'm not going to tell her because I regretted it so much. I like was obviously not intending to do what I did. So for like 5 days I didn't tell her, but then every day I felt like throwing up because of the guilt. And then one day she came over and I just couldn't hold it and I told her. And she was just like, bye.
Really? She ended it right then and there?
Okay, no. She was like, it's okay, it was just a kiss, because I told her it was just a kiss. So I lied in that sense also. But she like said it's okay in the beginning, and then when she went back home she was actually like replaying what might have happened. And for her the kiss wasn't as bad as to what led to the kiss, and like, you know, what I was feeling and what the vibe between me and this other person was, that the other person thought that they could make a move on me. And that's what kind of brought her to break up with me.
And did you still want the relationship, like knowing what you did and like knowing what led you to like make that decision?
Relationships are like an addiction sometimes. So it's like, I knew it wasn't good for me, I knew that it wasn't making me happy, I knew that it wasn't making me feel loved. So I'd rather be unhappy than be alone. So yeah, I still wanted to be in it, but if I was stronger back then I would have ended it before I made that mistake. Or spoken to her about it more, trying to figure things out in a different way.
And were you talking about the issues in your relationship at the time?
Yeah, I think the main thing was that there was a lot of compromise from one side and not at all from the other side. So we spoke a lot about how compromise is healthy or unhealthy. And in her view, like, compromise was unhealthy because you shouldn't change who you are, even if you're in a relationship. But for me, it was like, you're not changing who you are, you're becoming a better version of yourself for the other person and vice versa, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we had these conversations, but we never kind of reached a middle ground ever. And I think that's why...
Yeah, it led to what it did. Yeah, that makes sense. And so you decided to tell her because you felt guilty, but you were still trying to, like, avoid, like, the end of the relationship?
Yeah, honestly, I didn't... The thing is, when you, like, really love someone and you want to make it work, you can get past cheating. Cheating isn't something that's, like, black and white. Okay, like, when someone cheats, it's, like, it's... two people are involved. Like, I'm not talking about the person you cheat with, but I'm talking about, like, the two people in the relationship. So if, like, you actually want something to work, you recognize your part in it as well as the other part of, like, the other person's part. And she didn't realize that. And so I knew that she didn't want to work on it because you can get past cheating. Cheating isn't, like, this really, really, like... horrible thing that has to end relationships. You know, a lot of people, like, move past it, and you just have to recognize what was missing, you know.
And that's kind of, like, what I'm, like, learning going through this process, finding people to interview, is, like, so many people have a story. It happens in so many relationships, and that's why I kind of want to explore why it happens, how people cope with it, whether they stay with their partner or not, like, how it all plays out, because I think it's way more common than we think it is. So how did it feel to dive a little bit more into the actual conversation of telling her? How did it feel to have that conversation?
It kind of felt like a relief. I kind of told her more for me and less for her because it was, like, literally killing me inside, keeping it from her. And when I told her, it was more about me kind of telling her how hurt I was than the fact that I cheated. You know, it hurt her, but it was hurting me, like, every day of the relationship, being in that relationship. And the fact that she couldn't see that throughout, and I had to, like, do this as, like, a cry for help, or, like to tell her to come and, like, pay attention to me, that was, like, a relief because I wasn't able to tell her in any other way. And then, obviously, it's really sad that this is how she learned that. But... for me, it was a relief. And when I told her, you know, one person always thinks that, oh, my God, this person's trying to hurt me, and the other person's trying to say, I'm hurting. So it's just, it's basically both people are hurting, and both people show it in such different ways.
Well, I think it was brave of you to tell her, because a lot of what I'm exploring is the fact that people don't come out and tell their partner that they've done something wrong, and then they have to find out in some other terrible way.
Yeah, I don't know how they do that. Because the guilt is horrible. Like, it's horrible. I was throwing up every day because of the guilt. It's so bad.
So I want to do something.
Okay.
Do you have any photos of her on your phone?
Oh, my God. Let me see. No, I don't think
so. You don't think so?
I mean, I have Facebook.
Would there be pictures on Facebook of you guys together?
Yeah. Oh, my God, what is this?
Could you describe the photo and tell me a little bit about it?
So it's our graduation, and we're just hugging each other and smiling.
Do you remember it being taken?
Yeah, I do.
How does it make you feel to look back on it?
It was actually the first picture we took together. We never took pictures together. Yeah.
That was your graduation from high school?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And, like, it was, like, a milestone being reached. This picture being taken was a really big deal because we went out to people. And when we took this picture, it was, like, we're out to everyone and we're not scared and stuff.
Yeah. And I think it's really, like, powerful in that relationship, too, that you guys went through that together. And, like, that was your first relationship to even, like, tell people. And, like, what was that experience with your family?
Oh, it was horrible.
Really?
It was really bad, yeah, because, like, being gay is not a thing in India, and, like, it's not, like, accepted by the society, and we were best friends, and, like, both sides of the parents were, like, really not for it, especially also because it was becoming a bit unhealthy. On top of that, it was, like, homosexual, so yeah, it wasn't easy. But the thing is, we went through it together, and that's why our bond became so intense, right? It's like, oh, us against the world sort of a thing. And then when you start off like that, it's like you stay on for the story more than the relationship, you know?
Totally. Okay, and when was the last time that you talked to her?
Oh, very recently.
Really?
So we spoke for the first time after breaking up, like, a month ago. So that was, like, after 3-4 years.
Wow.
Of breaking up. Yeah. And it was, like, really good.
Yeah.
Because we never got closure. Mm-hmm. Like, when she broke up with me, it was, like, cold turkey. Like, we did not talk. Which was
That's so hard.
Yeah, it was really, really hard for me. It also made me realize the kind of attachment that she had towards me and the kind of attachment I had towards her.
Mm-hmm.
It was obviously very unequal. And the power imbalance was really off. Mm-hmm. But when we spoke to each other, it really felt like we were equals. And now we're friends because of that. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, so when we spoke, the first thing she asked me was about the cheating and why I cheated.
Really?
And then the first thing that she said was, you know, the minute you told me, I knew it was my fault. And I was shook.
Yeah, that's shocking.
Yeah, I was really, really shocked. I was like, why did you not speak to me for 3 years if you knew? She's like, because I was still hurt. And it wasn't all her fault. Obviously, it was my fault too. But like having her say that, she can take accountability for some part of it is crazy.
Yeah, to have that recognition, like, that's the closure that you needed.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that you guys could get to that place.
Yeah, meaning it takes a lot of not talking.
Yeah.
Like, you have to spend time with yourself.
Do you know what made her reach out to you?
Actually, it was an accident. So basically,
really?
Yeah. So basically, I have, like, two friends with the same name. And I was sending a work email to one of my friends, but it accidentally got sent to her.
Oh, wow.
And then she responded asking me how I was and that she wanted to talk to me.
Wow.
And then we started talking. So I asked her, like, if that mail wasn't sent by accident, would she ever, like, reach out, right? And she said, no, because I hurt you so much. Mm-hmm. So you never know what's going on in the other person's mind.
Yeah. Like, I feel like you would have never assumed that.
No. I was like, this woman doesn't give two shits.
Mm-hmm. But you needed to hear that, I feel like.
Yeah. Everything she said to me that day, I needed to hear.
Yeah. Do you have any advice for me as someone who's been cheated on?
If I had to give you advice, so much to say. Okay. Space is golden.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's obviously going through things.
Mm-hmm.
You're going through things. That's not a lie. But, you know, the fact that all these things have happened means that there's something that you both need to look into. And, like, I really feel like life keeps throwing things at you till you learn, you know. So if, like, these things are happening, it's because you're insecure about, like, the certain thing. And you have to, like, look into it and work on it, you know, whether the other person is there or not. Second thing is, don't imagine a future continuously after you break up. Because that can be really not healthy, you know? Because you're living in a future that doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. I think it's hard because, like, I hate him. Like, I'm so angry at him. But I'm also, like, so in love with him still. And I'm like, I don't even know what to do with myself because it's like I've tried, like, seeing other people and, like, spending time alone. And, like, I think I'm happiest alone right now because I am someone who, like, wants to be able to be, like, honest with my partners and authentic, and, like, I wouldn't want to, like, go into anything without being, like, able to, like, commit. And I do feel very, like, closed off from any kind of, like, connection right now, because I think I'm still in love with my ex, but that doesn't mean I want to get back with him, because I feel like he really betrayed me, and, like, I basically had to, like, confront him about it and, like, force an apology out of him and, like,
like, I think it's actually good to be closed off for a bit. Like, for me, I was in a relationship for 2 years. Such a good decision, because when you're in something so intense, you don't get over it in a few months. You need time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need time to let go of that love, and you need time to love yourself. And these, like, and every time you think you're ready, you probably won't be ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, till something just comes to you and you can see yourself going towards it from a place of love rather than fear.
Yeah.
I don't think closure is one conversation. I think closure is like a series of conversations with yourself and with the other person. You know, you get your heart broken a couple of more times because you keep seeking out people who are like this other person,
mm-hmm.
which is going to result in the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the time is right, you talk to them again. You get your answers. You know, you think about the questions you want to ask. You get your answers. And I think that's when you get like real closure, and that's when you can move on.
Yeah. Thank you for doing this interview. I think you bring a really interesting perspective to it, because like, even though I'm hurt by what happened in my situation, I know that he's hurting too.
There is one thing. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference between cheating once and cheating repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is just you lying repeatedly,
mm-hmm.
then that's not a mistake. That's
and you're
a
not learning.
Yeah.
And it's a choice, yeah.
Yeah, that's completely separate. Mm-hmm. I don't know how people feel when they do that.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is, like, how you feel when you make one mistake.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, once you, like, there are, like, other steps you have to go through too, right? So once you get into a healthy relationship, like, the fear of someone hurting you again is, like, a big thing that comes up. That you have to deal with,
yeah.
you know, and like, I think that all comes with time.
Yeah.
So just give yourself time.
Cool. Will do. After speaking to Ethan, Anne, and Pallavi, I knew there was one more person I needed to speak to. My ex. I didn't record this conversation. In fact, it happened over text. I gathered the advice I had gotten and decided to confront him again, this time demanding honesty. That's when he admitted he hadn't cheated on me one time, but three times with three different people. I've been grappling with this new information. I felt like I was in a parallel relationship, which never really existed at all. What has been the hardest for me to process is the fact that every single day he had the opportunity to be honest with me, and every single day he chose not to. I still have a lot more healing to do, but for the time being, you can find me listening to this. Fuck you and Jennifer, I'll know that you're out with her. Go pretend that you're just friends, I'll pretend that I'm not hurt. I know all the shit I heard, you can take these bitter words. Fuck you and Jennifer, go fucking make love to her. Fuck you and Jennifer. This has been Busted. Thank you for listening. From CITR 101.9 FM, this is the I Spy Podcast. Busted was recorded on the unceded, traditional, and ancestral territories of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. I'm your host, Violet Miles. Special thanks to this episode's guests, Ethan Donnelly, Pallavi Pangari, and Anne and Francis Adams. The music you've heard was Melissa by Eveningland, I'm Not the Only One by Sam Smith, Baskets in the Sky by William Rosati, and You and Jennifer by Bulo. If you want to support great local content like this, please go to citr.ca/donate.
Right, that was Mambo Jumper by Xavier Cugat. Okay, and I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I will be signing off about now. Valley will be with you in just a sec.
This winter, Vancouver will enjoy the customary drizzle, fog, and perhaps a modicum of the white stuff. On the other hand, for $195, you can enjoy sunshine of Mexico.